From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at your local and statewide news. The name of a man fatally shot at a Fairbanks Safeway store Sunday has been released. Fairbanks police identified the victim as 41-year-old Harley Ray Titus. The accused shooter, 41-year-old Joshua Eric Butcher, was arraigned Monday on a first-degree murder charge. Police say Butcher shot Titus as he exited the store, then went inside and fired additional rounds, one of which hit a Safeway employee in the foot. Police say it's unclear if the 24-year-old man or anyone else in the store was targeted by Butcher. Butcher is a former Safeway employee, according to information on his Facebook page. He turned himself in at the Fairbanks Police Department immediately following the shooting. Fairbanks District Attorney Joe Dallaire says additional charges could be filed. Butcher is jailed at Fairbanks Correctional Center on $10 million bail. His next court date is a preliminary hearing on January 6th. Juno's Pelmini is a classic hole-in-the-wall restaurant that pretty much every local has gone to. And now there's a new shop in Anchorage. KTOO's Lindsay Berlini teamed up with Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George to find out the history of Pelmini and how it expanded to Anchorage.
The smell of curry, dumplings, and butter seeps through the windows outside of Pelmini in downtown Juneau. It's an Alaskan take on a classic Russian comfort food, dumplings.
So when you say the name of the dish in English, it sounds pelmeni, right? And that's how we all say it. But if you say that in Russian language, it is pronounced pelmeni.
That's Yana White. She moved to Juneau from Russia in 2009. She grew up making pelmeni with her family once a month on Sundays. White hopes to make pelmeni with her daughter soon, just like she made them with her parents and grandparents in Russia.
My daughter loves them, and she doesn't eat them with traditional condiments such as sour cream or vinegar. She eats them with ketchup.
The pelmeni you'll find in Juneau are not quite traditional. They have a lot more toppings, lots of butter, curry powder, cilantro, and sriracha. And on the side, there's a slice of fluffy rye bread. The non-traditional toppings are additions that the owner Dave Bonk made when he bought the restaurant in 1998 from an American expatriate who was trying to get back to Russia.
We went through one night after hours, and he said, "Hey, you want to take this over for me?" And he only had been doing it like a month or two.
All he wanted in return for the restaurant was a plane ticket to Russia. Since then, Pelmini has become a staple in the Juneau community. The current manager at the Juneau restaurant, Leighton Bullock, says the restaurant has been open every day since 2011, even during the pandemic. It's also one of the few restaurants in downtown Juneau that's open late. That, combined with the low price, has made it a popular spot. Bullock says,
You get your high schoolers and you get your hipsters and you get like your late night partiers that come in and they're just tossing numbers to you and saying, you know, I need three, I need four, I need five.
For a long time, Pelmini was just a Juneau thing, but it grew, first to Bellingham, then Sitka, and now there's a new location in downtown Anchorage. David Clark lives in Anchorage, but has been to Juneau many times and is a big fan. Clark remembers the first time he had Pelmini in 2014. He flew to Juneau to do some advocacy work in the legislature, and everybody on the trip with him told him to go to Pelmini. Once he tried it, he was hooked.
For me, it's really just about, what memories do you make here?
One of his favorite recent memories was when he went to Pelmini after hanging out with friends at a downtown outdoor bar.
We ended up closing out the shop, you know, just sitting and laughing and talking just about anything and everything.
Clark was a little skeptical that the new Anchorage restaurant could compare to Juneau's reputation. When he got back to Anchorage, Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George met him there for lunch.
Hey David, how's it going?
It's going great, how are you?
The Anchorage shop is across the street from the Captain Cook Hotel in downtown, and it's set up to feel familiar for Pelmini regulars. There's a vintage cash register at the counter, and the essential question from the dumpling slinger.
All right, let's do an order of beef.
Order of beef.
I'll take a can of Diet Coke too.
Diet Coke, cool.
Yep.
That brings you to 9 even on the card today.
Waiting for his order, David says it's pretty easy to tell you're at a Pelmini shop.
Of course, just like in Juneau, there's kind of like a little library going on of records, and there's also a record player. I would say the essential components are there, yeah.
Behind the counter, it's dumpling slinger Eduard Saryozhenkov's second week on the job. Seryozhenkov is part Russian, born in Anchorage, and grew up making similar dumplings with his family, though he's never been to the flagship shop in Juneau.
Well, here you dress them with all kinds of stuff like curry powder and sriracha sauce and cilantro. The Russian style is a little richer, more soupy. To each their own.
He says the first weekend the shop was open, it was slammed. Lunchtime on a weekday is pretty slow, but Seryozhenkov says that doesn't mean the dumplings won't catch on in Anchorage.
I think this place works best late night, like, for sure. This place is like a Christmas tree, it's all lit up. And if you can get people to walk here from the bars, it's going to be popping.
A few minutes later, dumplings on the table. David says the only noticeable difference between the two shops is the half slice of bread that accompanies the pelmeni. In Juneau, it's marbled rye, but in Anchorage, it's plain old white bread until the rye comes in.
They definitely taste fresh. I honestly can't really tell a difference between, you know, Anchorage and Juneau.
Still, Clark says he's not sure the Anchorage pelmeni will take off in the same way as Juneau's, or whether it will fill a similar niche as a community-building late-night spot. He says only time will tell. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
And in Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The U.S. border has reopened to non-essential travel for Canadians for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic. In Haines, a Monday morning welcome party was thrown for the first Canadians to visit since March 2020. Corinne Smith with KHNS reports.
It's a dodge. That's it. Ready? Black dodge. Is it Yukon plates?
The Haines Community Marching Band was at the ready to play O Canada, welcoming the first car pulling into the visitor center in downtown Haines. There was just one car before noon. Bruce Funk of Whitehorse had a police escort from the border crossing about 40 miles north of Haines. Funk had tears in his eyes as he shook hands with Haines Mayor Douglas Olrood.
Welcome back to Haines. We've missed everybody in the Yukon, and being able to have you guys back here means a lot.
Funk is a familiar face in town. He's been visiting Haines for over 45 years.
Been a long time. just happy to be back.
He said he plans to check on property he owns, do some sport fishing, and visit friends in town.
Nothing better to do than spend a couple of weeks down here.
Haines Tourism Director Stephen Ock had gift bags on hand for the first 7 Canadian visitors. They included a gift certificate for breakfast at the Bamboo Room, coffee, salmon, and other various items from local businesses, which have been off limits since both countries instituted travel restrictions as a precaution against spreading COVID-19.
You know, it would have been nice if there was a line of cars at the border at the opening and they all came, but, you know, this is great. Great to see, you know, somebody that's been coming here for a while come back on the day of the opening, so we're excited for that.
Ock said, regardless, Haines is ready to welcome back Canadians after a 19-month break.
We've waited patiently. I'm glad that it happened, and, we're glad to welcome our friends and family from Canada back to Haines.
Mayor Olrood echoed the excitement and said it feels like a step toward normalcy.
There's been so many baby steps since the pandemic first hit, and, you know, each one where you kind of get that a little bit closer to normal, I think having that where now we can go there, they can come here. Yes, it's a little harder than it normally is, but we're one step closer to that normal. And so, yeah, having our Canadian neighbors being able to come back to Haines, I think, is a big step.
Canadian visitors are required to show proof of vaccination and a negative COVID test for re-entry. The reception wrapped up with coffee and snacks, and Bruce Funk even got an invitation for dinner while he's in town. The Haines Community Marching Band packed up, but was ready for the next fanfare. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
Federal investigators arrived in Kodiak on Monday after a small plane crashed over the weekend. Authorities have released few details on the 2 p.m. Sunday crash, except to confirm that a 39-year-old Soldotna man piloting the plane was reportedly killed in the crash, a few hundred yards from the runway near Kodiak's East Elementary School. Kodiak police named the deceased pilot as Derek Likelighter. He was reportedly en route to Saltery Cove for a hunting trip. The National Transportation Safety Board's Alaska Office Chief Clint Johnson says the aircraft was not carrying any passengers, and there's been little information gathered so far by crash investigators. Two NTSB investigators have begun collecting evidence and will interview eyewitnesses, Johnson said. He added that the site will be under guard around the clock to preserve the integrity of the crash scene. You're listening to KTOO News. I'm Claire Strimple.